Good Friday afternoon. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village studio. It's October 25th. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill. He's been away for a couple of weeks, and he's back on Monday. We're all looking forward to that. On Fridays, Bill gives a high five to the Buckmaster Show media partners. Those include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, and a new one, Tucson Spotlight. You'll find all of those and more on his website, buckmastershow.com. You're also going to find the archive of all of Bill's show there also. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Carlos Valles. He's the executive director of the Sahuarita and Marana Food Banks and Community Resource Centers. If you have a question or a comment anytime during the show, call us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Welcome, Carlos Valles.
Good afternoon, Dan.
How are you
doing? As always, thank you. it seems like I was just here a couple weeks ago, but...
it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Was it May?
Yeah, I believe so. It was May.
Yeah. I think so, but in your world, that a lot can happen in just a few months.
Certainly.
Man, and down where we are, I'll remind people that Green Valley, at least, about a third of the community leaves for the summer because they're smart. So they're back in Iowa, although I think they've forgotten about humidity and mosquitoes. But, you know, I hear from them and then I get the lake shots and whatever. But anyway, now they're slowly coming back and they are a huge part of our volunteer force. So are you seeing some people coming back?
Yeah, we've been waiting for a couple of our volunteers that have helped us with some of the maintenance side of things. So happy to have them back, especially to give some time to our year-rounders. So it's wonderful to have the our snowbirds back to help and volunteer.
Yeah, very good. You know, I've heard of a couple of organizations that actually won't even allow winter visitors to volunteer anymore, which I don't understand, to be honest with you, because it causes such an issue in the summer. I don't understand the thinking.
You know, I don't either, but it gives us a much-needed break, and, you know, they're energized, ready to return.
Yeah, and you know they're coming back. That's a good thing.
Yep.
Quite an operation over there. Years and years ago, this started as a, in Sahuarita, it started as a food pantry in a church, grew to basically like an invasive weed take over every single part of this church. And they were very good-humored about it. They were terrific people over there at Good Shepherd United Church of Christ in Sahuarita. And then a few years ago, we built a building.
Yeah. 14,300 square foot facility to house not just the food bank operations, but also the community resource center and everything else that is being accomplished in our little campus.
Very good. You know, you have been with the Sahuarita Food Bank almost 6 years, and last December you took on the Marana operation. Because the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona decided I had a philosophy switch. We'll just leave it at that. And Marana asked you to come in.
Yeah, so through State of the Town last year, Mayor Murphy had invited Mayor Honey to visit us for a tour to see what Marana could accomplish in their community. And so we gave them a tour, their town manager and a couple of their town council members. And so... at the end of the Q&A session, the big question was proposed to us, hey, can you come and do this for us? And I looked at a couple of my board members and I said, well, we weren't, this was not what we were expecting. It was more of a listening and learning session. So we said we could do this, but the big thing and the most critical thing is that financial support. So if the community of Marana fully supports this 100%, then we can see how we can accomplish this. So the town of Marana, along with Pima County, contributed to the financial support to kick this off. And we recruited a team, a very capable team. The volunteers stayed in place. And so it's been, you know, we're going on our 1 year anniversary. December 1st will be 1 year. And we consistently serve between 900 to 1,000 families out of that location. And we're also expanding more than just food, because that's really part of our mission, getting people out of poverty. Food is just one of the symptoms. It's affecting a lot of people, but we understand for many, connecting them to a resource, a job opportunity, is critical to help them break that poverty cycle. So
in this whole transition regarding Marana, the volunteers largely stayed. You have kind of refocused things there, I'm guessing, and the donations stayed put.
Yeah, so we have a board there that consists primarily of Marana residents. And so they see the mission. And so we said we'd like to keep the continuity in place and continue feeding those that are hungry and then providing those wraparound services. So whether it's free tax preparation or even just getting them connected to SNAP resources, any other resource that's available in the community, we have a wonderful relationship with the Pima County One Stop program. So we have a navigator that's out there once a week, and so they can connect them with those services. But you know, for those individuals that truly want to start earning a livable wage through some of our mm-hmm. programs, we have a licensed vocational school, so World Skill Center. So that's something that we're going to be incorporating in the Marana community come 2025, 2026, when we shift our focus onto some of those more programming type things.
So in Marana, you have 900 to 1,000 families being served. What is it in the Green Valley, Sarita area?
It averages about 1,850 families on the food side, but collectively we're probably serving close to about 3,000 families that don't reflect that food piece, because again, it's not just food. We have a lot of other programs, and many of these programs are not facilitated by our organization. A lot of people think we're doing a lot, but we have a lot of strong partnerships in the community. We have a family resource center. So again, 1,800 for food, but collectively we're serving just a little over 3,000 families a month through the Sahuarita location.
And that's really what food banks have been doing over quite a few years, and kind of reinventing themselves or expanding their reach, pivoting from that short transaction of giving people food and then they go away. Now you're actually having that larger involvement that is changing lives. And you've mentioned some of it, and you told me earlier that you have 4 welding students about to graduate.
Yes, through our welding program, that was our second licensed program through the state of Arizona. We're getting ready to graduate our first 4 students in a week and a half. And we're excited because we have 33 waiting in the pipeline. So
incredible.
You know, it's game changing, because we have some companies that have already reached out about potentially employing them. And these aren't minimum wage jobs. These are much higher wage jobs. So we're happy, but more importantly, those individuals are excited about this opportunity.
And over 30 people on the waiting list, and a lot of those are women.
Correct.
Yeah, they can handle it.
Yeah, you know, welding has been a male dominated industry for basically forever. And so it's great to see women interested and going through the program.
Introduce us to Project Azul. We've talked about it before, but tell us a little bit about what it is, and then I've got some questions to follow up on.
Yeah, so Project Azul, which happens to be the color Azul of our 46-foot mobile trailer, and also of our pickup truck that hauls it. It is an extension of our organization, but the reason it's Project Azul, it's Arizona Uniting Lives. And the whole purpose of this is to bring much needed resources to communities that don't have, whether they have a limited presence of resources or they just don't have any type of resources. It's us working, leveraging partners that have these programs and then bringing them there to these communities. And we're not reliant on any type of infrastructure. The mobile unit has a classroom for 8 students. Instructor's got a private office, it's got a bathroom, it's got Starlink high-speed satellite mm-hmm. internet. So it is a platform for our partners to come and facilitate some of those programs in those communities.
So 46-foot trailer, I've been inside it. Yep, there's an entire classroom in there. They have fold-down desks and the whole bit, and
it's awesome.
It's quite impressive.
Yeah, we were washing it. I'm dressed like I'm washing vehicles today, and that's what we're doing because we have an event tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so it is an extension of our organization, and we are inviting our partners to come out and facilitate their programs.
And tomorrow you're going to be at Desert Hills Lutheran Church?
Yes, from 2 to 3 p.m.
Okay, people can come on out. It's not just for the church, and see what this is all about and get inside there.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Invite the community to come out and see what it's all about.
Okay, that's Desert Hills Lutheran Church in Green Valley. They're going to be out there from 2 to 3 on Saturday. So getting back to Project Azul, you do a lot of stuff in there, even helping people through really complex paperwork, access, or whatever else they need.
Yeah, so some of our programs are GED, ESL, through our partnership with United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. We're expanding our VITA tax preparation, so that way those communities can be afforded that opportunity. And then also we're going to be implementing some of our more dynamic programs, such as like intermediate computer basics for kids. Focusing on STEM, we have a 3D and robotics programs over the summer, and it's to keep kids engaged. You know, when I grew up, I didn't have cell phones. technology was very limited, so it's great to if kids love that, which most do. You know, let's see how we can incorporate that into some of these STEM programs.
One of the programs you offer is financial literacy. Explain what that program is, and then tell us what you're seeing along those lines when people come in and what their finances look like.
Yeah, so our financial well-being program is designed for individuals that it's got a broad focus, because we all have different objectives in life, whether that's to buy a new car or even a reliable car, or to save for a down payment, or even to save for your kids' future, for their college. It's having an understanding of, okay, this is what I bring in every month, what should be the priorities, and then setting up a game plan with professionals. So we have partnerships with local credit unions, financial advisors, so that way you pay yourself first, save for the future, and then you have basically a game plan. And so it's helped out a lot of individuals and participants in our community set that game plan moving forward.
What are some of the aha moments that people going through the financial literacy course have had?
I know one individual was, I should not be buying the newest cell phone every year. Maybe if I hold on to this phone that works, I can save more. You know, it's great to live in a certain area, but you know, if you live in another area, that maybe it's not too far away. So mm-hmm. you can save for that down payment. And so when you have someone objectively looking at a financial plan, they can share that with you. You know, so a lot of people we come in with kind of this closed type of mentality, and this is how I've done it. I've struggled, or I can't save. But then somebody else paints a bigger picture. I think that's where it opens up those aha moments.
Okay. And, you know, for some people, saving $25 a month, you know, might be a tall order, but once they've got it, That's a big win.
Oh, it's huge, and especially if you put it into a retirement, it starts to compound, and you know, it's let your money work for you.
But that's getting people to think beyond just surviving for the day and actually planning for the future. And for some of them, that is just a foreign concept.
Correct. And this is why we have people that are experts, and this is what they do for a living. So it's great to tie in these types of programs into our whole mission.
Very good. We're talking with Carlos Valles. He's the executive director of the Sarita and Marana Food Banks and Community Resource Centers. We've been talking about Project Azul. You going to launch that up in Marana?
Yeah, we're looking. I think what we're going to be doing is some of our computer basics, and then seeing what else the need is out there. Just the fact that we have the technology in place, we want to see what the community needs, and we'll deploy that.
Does that mean buying another 46-foot trailer?
No, it's going to be No, I'm just kidding, Dan. You know, that trailer started at 20 feet, and when I measured out in the warehouse, I'm like, yeah, 20 feet, maybe 22 feet, and then 24 feet, and then 28 feet. And then I think we got to 46 feet, and then multiple people said, you got to stop at this point. And I said, okay.
It's
large. You know, it's
shy of a semi, actually. Like
yeah.
Folding.
So no, we'll be utilizing this trailer as well up in the Marana area.
Okay, very good. Well, we're in the midst of our Friday Focus interview with Carlos Valles. He oversees the Sarita and Marana food banks and community resource centers. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch. You can get over there right now. Treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including that famous Danish Kringle that Bill and so many of us love. monasdanishbakery.com to learn everything you need to know about them, or go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for Marketplace Trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. He's going to be back next week, and I'm happy about that. I'm with Carlos Valles. He's the executive director of the Sahuarita and Marana Food Banks and Community Resource Centers. And you folks, do not let any grass grow under your feet. December 6th, you're hosting a what?
Health and resources related fair. At the food bank, we have over 30 different organizations that will be attending. We had one 2 years ago. Lots of excitement, lots of resources all around health. So it's free to the public on Friday, December 6th from 9 to 12 at the Sahuarita Food Bank.
Yeah, if nothing else, folks, you got to get out to this food bank and you need to see how this thing is set up. It is remarkable what has been accomplished there. And again, Good Shepherd Church is right next door. It was a huge supporter early on, and now look what is there. So terrific. You were mentioning earlier classes and helping people with paperwork and whatever. And all of this, the word that comes to mind for me is partnerships. So can you talk a bit about your partnerships with the community? And it's imperative that you have that. You can't pull off all this stuff.
No. And so a lot of people always ask, how are you accomplishing all these things? And I'd like to remind them that we leverage a lot of our partners because they are, at the end of the day, this is their focus. They are the subject matter experts. Mm-hmm. And what better way to reach out to a greater population than, you know, bringing partners along. So we have a lot of partners that bring a lot of programs, and they leverage us and we leverage them. And at the end of the day, it works well for everyone. And more importantly, it serves our clients extremely well.
So we have some people who could potentially teach a class or offer some expertise or come in, sort food. I see these workers going through this, and man, this is tough but important work. But your Joe average person is going to say, I want to help out, but I really just don't want to go and jump in with both feet. What can just typical person in Green Valley or Sobrita do for you?
Something as simple as stuffing envelopes to as intense as doing, you know, maintaining. We have a couple of garden beds in the back, and during the summer, mm-hmm. those are tough jobs. It's hot. So, and we have, for example, right now we have a new volunteer that he's a recently retired pediatrician. And so he's been helping us with some of our nutrition classes for kids, ensuring that what we're developing kind of falls in line with national standards. So we work with individuals who, you know, what is it that you've done in your professional life? Because that might translate into something that we can do here. So we try to fill some gaps there.
And you actually have food prep classes.
We do.
And they focus on health. I love it.
Yeah, we have a prescription for health program. We have mm-hmm. three partners. And so it is a three-month program designed to I will say not necessarily eliminate some chronic diseases, but for a lot of people, it's managing. You know, mm-hmm. Instead of that candy bar,
right.
You know, grab some strawberries. So it's incorporating healthy eating to make an impact in your diet.
Is it accurate to say you have a full-blown commercial kitchen in there?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. It's a really nice kitchen.
And you have a takeout program.
Yeah, so we have a takeout program. Well, actually, we put that on a hiatus because mm-hmm. we've been focusing on some other things. We've been we have a catering program which has been opened up because, you know, it's been easier for us reaching a group, and then so it also forms a marketing component for us. People get to understand who we are.
Okay, and then donations in general, and I'm talking actual food and cash, how are they going?
It's been, I think all organizations, we've been struggling. Cash donations are down, food donations are down, and you know, even in-kind, which is volunteer support, they've been down. So I just think across the board, we've just been affected greatly. And I know I can speak for probably 99.9% of organizations. We're at a peak, but we're at a critical time. And from my discussions with some of my colleagues, we're all being affected.
Why is it down, would you guess?
So our food costs, the food that we buy, perfect example, in the last year, they're up. Actually, in the last 16 months, food costs for us are up 22%.
Wow.
So incredible. For that, we can't do what we used to do. And it's even affecting people that used to make significant contributions. Now their donations aren't going as far, and they might not even be doing what they were doing before. So it's affecting us. I mean, it's affecting our donors as well. So it's just across the board.
The formula in the past was, I think, for every dollar donated, you have the buying power of what?
So we like to say internally, we could provide a meal for four now. Before it used to be like a dollar for 10 meals. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, it's very simple things like rice and beans, and incorporating maybe another protein. But realistically, it's not what it used to be, and it's all over the place. Really, it could go from 1 week to the next. We provide a lot of milk and eggs to people coming to the food bank, and those commodities are all over the place from 1 week to the next. So it's hard to provide a solid number.
So your buying power is diminished, but it's still much higher than mine.
Yes.
Cash is a good thing.
Cash is always a good thing.
Okay, very good. Yeah. And again, when folks leave Green Valley for the summer, they clean out their pantries. Are you seeing some benefit there?
We are. Not as it it used to be. It's affecting people, in their pantries. If they don't have as like what they used to have, then we know it's just that trickle-down effect.
Do you receive anything from grocery stores?
We do. So we do rescue things from the grocery stores 7 days a week. So that does help out. We're not rescuing what we used to, just because store buyers, again, they're just not purchasing because it's hitting their bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then for the rescue, what kind of things are you actually getting from them consistently?
Yeah, so it's produce and deli type items, some frozen type items, so usually perishable items.
So things you have to quick turnaround on.
Correct.
But then, as we have talked about before, the whole area where a client would go in and receive food looks like a supermarket.
Yeah, we've modeled it. It's 100% client choice. So no longer do we give a family or an individual a box. They come in and they shop. They select their items. We don't tell them what they're going to take. If they want it, they can take it. If not, then leave it for somebody else. And everybody has a little shopping card, and it basically tells you what you can select based on your family size. So it's really up to them. And we love it because, again, it eliminates waste. People are not taking something that they might otherwise throw away. But more importantly, there's dignity in that process.
Right, absolutely. And that process has worked well for you.
Extremely well.
Okay. Yes. So we talked a little bit earlier about how some food banks have been reinventing themselves to offer expanded services, and you are a great example of that. So we've seen it locally. But what innovations have you seen at operations either in or outside of Arizona?
I think the big thing is incorporating some sort of workforce training program with barrier removal. And again, I see food banks that are doing their own internal, like a warehousing program. So that way they get some sort of certification, whether it's forklift, getting them job ready. And then having either potentially hiring that individual to work at the food bank, or even getting buy-in from a local warehouse manufacturing facility to have a job ready individual who has gone through like a soft skills, because what we're noticing, soft skills is a critical piece that is affecting a lot of people. When I speak with, I have discussions with employers, and they say, we need them to come on time. Mm-hmm. Iron their shirt, and so we're incorporating some of these things, and I see this as a national trend, those soft skills and that workforce piece.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think everybody's dealing with that.
Yeah,
particularly as more jobs, in the last couple of years had been available, and someone knows if they don't like it there, they can go across the street and get another job. I think Jan Lesher, who the county administrator, said that in this very room on Bill's show we were talking. She said, we've had people show up like they're going to the beach, and this is a county job, and they know darn well they can go, across the street. So that though makes a huge impression on a potential employer.
It does. But you know what? What we focused also on a small percentage is how we can incorporate some of the at-home jobs, because what the pandemic showed us was a lot of people love to work from home. And so how can we connect individuals to some of those work-at-home opportunities?
Okay, very good. I like the branding. Sabarita and Marana look the same.
Correct.
As far as the logos and everything. If you had to pick a next location in Southern Arizona because they're underserved, where would it be?
You know, we would not. And the reason, because our focus is on a more granular approach. I think our Project Azul initiative will help fill some of those gaps. But this is where we can work with other partners to strengthen those communities. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're going to be spread too far. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we're going to be failing the people that we serve. So we want to focus on a much more strategic push where we're, you know, serving more people in the communities that we're currently in.
So with that in mind, you have not bitten off more than you can chew as far as Marana goes.
No, it's been baby steps. We're in a capital campaign push. We've been approached to purchase a property. And mm-hmm. so as of today, we've raised $136,000 out of the $220,000 that we need to raise. And so for the Marana listeners, we want to continue the legacy there. So you can visit our website at www.mfb for Marana Food Bank, -crc.org, so you can learn more. And we're close, so we just want to continue again that legacy there in Marana.
Very good. And we'll be giving out those the websites again before the end of Carlos's time with us. Okay, we are going to head into our last segment here in a little bit. We'll be right back with Carlos Valles on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. The extraordinary beauty and craftsmanship of Mexican artisans is yours at Clay and Cloth in Barrio Viejo, featuring gorgeous clay pottery sourced from southern Mexico, including Oaxaca, Puebla, Merida, and Hidalgo. Also discover amazing textiles you won't find anywhere else in Tucson. Clay and Cloth also has an incredible selection of new Dia de los Muertos merchandise. See the selection on Instagram at Mad Max the Dog Shop and visit Clay and Cloth. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 310 South Convent, just south of Cushing.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and we are here with Carlos Valles. He is the executive director of two food banks in Sahuarita and Marana, but they're far more than food banks. But before you got involved in this 6 years or so ago, Carlos, what'd you do?
And it, what brought me to Southern Arizona, my wife and I, I was in the military. I was in the Air Force, so I served 6 years. This was my last assignment. And after that, I became, I worked for a brief period out in Fort Huachuca, working for the Army as a civilian. And then I was basically recruited by a defense contractor. So I did a lot of federal work for the Department of the Army. I traveled extensively around the globe. I did that for a long time. And then I went back to school because I said, you know, I need to get some education. So through with the GI Bill, got my bachelor's in aeronautics from Emory-Riddle. And then after that, I pursued my MBA through Eller College here at the University of Arizona. And for somebody that struggled to graduate from high school, I think that was probably my, on a personal slash professional side, that was probably my greatest accomplishment just because I struggled out of high school and I did not know what I was going to do. So I did have a, briefly out of high school, I had a budding, what I call a, online business that was pretty it did really well and if anything it taught me that I should use some of the resources out in the community because I had a full-fledged business that was doing really well. And at the end of the day, I had a lot of friends, but then when the business went out, I didn't have any friends. So you know, looking back, I really wish I would have had a mentor. And it's, you live and learn. I love having a business, but I learned a lot of things that I've incorporated now into what I do.
Then the obvious question, quite a leap to do to what you're doing today. How'd that happen?
I was working for another nonprofit in Tucson. And at that time I was just part-time. It was more of a gap because I thought I was going to go back and work for the federal government. I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But one day I kind of realized working in the nonprofit world that I, you know, in a way I kind of was filling something that in my life, something that I was missing. And so one day I saw an ad on Craigslist in 2018 for a food bank director. And I applied. I said, I'm not going to apply to any jobs on Craigslist. And if the executives from Craigslist are listening, I just had bad experience from Craigslist, but I applied.
Everybody has. Advertise in your local paper.
Thank you. And so I applied and then they called me up and they said, hey, can you come in the day after Thanksgiving to interview? And I'm like, who calls you in on the day after Thanksgiving to interview? At 8 a.m. And I showed up and nobody was there. And I'm like, this was a scam, like everything else, you know. And no, somebody, Ann, who was the outgoing executive director, she met me and they showed me a closet. And they said, hey, you're going to be giving food out of this closet. And I'm like, this is going to be easy. But then now that I look at 6 years, 6.5 years later, wow, I mean, we have a new facility, we have another location, we have our mobile unit, we have a school, we have a family resource center. It's been a lot, and you know, it's been a journey, and so it's been an incredible experience.
And it is incredible. I'm often asked two questions, and I'm gonna throw them both at you. We have a few minutes here. Is there a homeless population in Sahuarita? Do you see it?
You know, it's more of a passing through. Sure. We do get a couple of individuals that, you know, that definition kind of gets thrown out. Mm-hmm. It could be couch surfing. And for me, you know, they don't really have a place that they're going to call home. Mm-hmm. So we do have a lot of those individuals that reside in Sahuarita that I know that they're couch surfing. They tell us, but we get people that are coming through just through the region and they
literally passing through.
They're on a bike or they're mm-hmm. walking through. And so we set them up with, you know, we know you're passing through. So either we could give them a backpack with, through one of our partners that provides like toothbrushes, et cetera, some hygiene items, and then some food to get them to their next point. So not a whole lot, but we do have those resources in place.
Here's a curveball for you. Are you a mandatory reporter? Something comes in front of you and you know that you've got...
if we know that it's... Two things. I've heard things that are, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I can't really share, but usually what I'll do is I'll connect them to somebody who can make that determination. Mm-hmm. Because again, I'm not a social worker or I'm not a case manager. And so we, through like the county or even some of these other entities, we will stop that conversation and redirect them. A lot of them are like health related or like domestic violence type sure. situations. So we have those resources in place so that way they can communicate those discussions.
Okay.
Yeah. So I hope that kind of answers your question.
It does. Eyes and ears open. And I get it.
And you know, for us, it's like, how can we take you out of, we're not going to just say, you know what, we can't help you out. We're going to say, how can we connect you to somebody who can help you make that determination?
There's something on your website that gives the answer to the next question I'm asked a lot about, and that is Pima County a poor county? And your website
that is a very loaded question.
Parts of it.
Yeah, is it a very poor county? I guess depending on where you reside, mm-hmm. because there are some affluent areas, but then there's some areas that you go in and wow. And I know I won't talk about the communities, but sure. I'm sure some of us have even been through some of the communities. And, you know, they're just pockets of poverty. So as a whole, I think we could do more, really.
And I think this gets back to the heart of what you have been doing and heading in the right direction. And that is, you know what, you throw them a lifeline and they eat tonight. That's terrific. Yes. But how can we change this cycle of poverty, which has been discussed for decades and decades?
You know, I had this conversation with someone recently and I don't like to cast a wide net and just, you know, you're going to lose mm-hmm. people through those big holes. You know, it's really focusing with each individual one at a time. Getting them to a point, to a better point. And it's really case by case. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough, really.
We have found that ways that we can connect with people who it's tough to get them into the paper yeah. is through the schools.
Yeah.
And Native American populations, very rough sometimes. There's some trust issues. There's just access. There's, you know, different things that go on. For you, what is your collaboration with the schools?
One of our big collaborations is our Better Together steering committee. So mm-hmm. we meet every couple of months and it's really a listening and learning opportunity and see where we can collaborate or partner with them. But then also so that way it's not just us and the community and the school, but it's a community that's coming together with different types of resources. And so we just had our Better Together steering committee. And one of the big things was like connectivity. And so mm-hmm. For example, I sit on the Pima County Digital Inclusion Advisory Committee. Well, that's long, but it's really getting people connected to the internet with stable internet because, you know, we live in a time where we got to be connected. And what a few years ago showed us was that a lot of people were going to McDonald's or Burger mm-hmm. King or a library just to use their Wi-Fi. And so kids are... you know, if kids have to wait for their parents to get home or they don't have transportation, then, you know, well, we got to fill that gap. So it's really connecting and seeing where we can work together.
So it seems like more and more people are finding out what you do and they support what you do, but more people knowing about it means that you need more resources, and you're telling us that they actually are dropping.
Yeah, and it's I think that at the end of the day, we talked about it, the that whole financial piece, it's less dollars. How can we do more with less? And that's what I share with my staff, my team. I say, look, let's focus on, again, that granular approach. Be much more impactful with less, because we have less resources, less time, because we're serving so many more people. So be much more impactful in what you're doing.
Very good. So let's give another plug to a couple of events that we have mentioned. First of all, tomorrow at Desert Hills Lutheran Church in Green Valley, the Project Azul 46-foot trailer is going to be there. People can take a look at that. You'll ask you questions from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Head on out there.
We'll have cookies, homemade cookies, okay, by our chefs. So I hear they're incredible.
And you also know that food brings out half of Green Valley. You know, they do.
The more,
know,
the merrier.
And they got great hearts too. So, and then on December 6th, you have a health fair going on. Give us some more details about that.
Yeah, that will be from 9 a.m. to noon. It's open to the public, and we'll have over 30 different organizations providing all sorts of screenings. And so again, it's open to the community, and it's at 17750 South La Cañada Drive in Sahuarita. You can reach us at 520-777-7675, or reach us on our website, or visit us on our website, I should say, www.sahuaritafoodbank.org.
Okay, very good. And I have a friend who goes to those health fairs just to get the free chapstick. You know what? Whatever gets them out, man.
You know, we have, you know, I don't want to share the things that we're going to have this year, because...
be a run on them?
Yeah. No, I think people will be, you know, I keep it a surprise, but please attend if you have
very,
time.
Very good. Yeah. People love these things, and they're always very valuable, a place to get connected to resources and ask those questions that you want. So,
yes.
Okay. I want to thank Carlos Valles, Executive Director of the Sarita and Marana Food Banks and Community Resource Centers. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dan, as always.
We are going to be right back with Weekend Watch to help you plan your next couple of days. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the pros over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. In 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan and half-cent sales tax. They are both effective through June 30th, 2026. For the region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, the RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Okay, it is time for Weekend Watch. That's a great way to plan your next couple of days. Presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's so much you can do over there. They have hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and you can visit the Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. We are going to get our weekend roadmap from the crew over at 101.7 The Drive, a station I listen to quite often. Welcome, Leslie Lois.
You
guys do great work over there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I was mentioning that on my drive up, I heard for the first time in years, Shake Your Booty.
What a great song to hear on a Friday, right?
It was really good. And, you know, you start swaying in your car and you're on the interstate and it's such a bad idea. But then you followed it up with, of course, Fast Car by Tracy Chapman, who is absolutely awesome and is in my Spotify account.
Oh, very nice. So, well, I'm glad you're a fan.
But Shake Your Booty is not, and I don't know why. I just feel weird even saying the title. So anyway.
Guilty pleasure.
Well, you guys, again, 101.7 The Drive, and you're going to set us up for our weekend. What do we have going on?
So I know it's Halloween weekend, right? But there are a couple nine Halloween things going on, including a really cool thing in Oro Valley. It's their Fall Foodie an art festival. Now, this is with Saka, and It's going to have more than 100 artisans in addition to music, food vendors, a beer garden, crafts for kids. There's going to be a costume contest. This is happening both Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4, and it's at the Oro Valley Marketplace, and it's free to attend. So what a great event. I know it's going to be a little warm.
That's okay. Saka does a lot of events down in our area, and they always do it right.
Yeah, that is a great organization, too.
Excellent.
Now, if you're not, again, into Halloween, but you are into records, this is a pretty cool thing. The Tucson Record Show is happening at the Fraternal Order of Police Hall. That's happening from 9 to 3 tomorrow. For 19 years, Cassidy Collectibles has been hosting this Tucson Record Show. It features vendors selling records, CDs, music memorabilia, from all kinds of genres.
Is vinyl still a thing?
It
I know it kind of came back, and then it's, you know.
It really is.
All those Karen Carpenter albums I had.
I think they are all worth money now.
I got to dig through. I know that my son, who is a huge vinyl collector, absolutely loves, you know, that little scratchy sound and whatever. So he would dig something like that. So what else you got?
So we got some cool Halloween stuff. This is pretty cool. The Witching Hour at Valley of the Moon is happening through Sunday, today through Sunday. They have performances that start at 6 o'clock and running every 20 minutes to 8 o'clock. You can watch the mystical performance that includes a wizard, a warlock, a demonic companion, and a demon hunter.
Wow. You know, I missed the whole Twilight thing. I was too busy raising kids, but this sounds like it's a great, I don't know if it's a knockoff or just the next big thing.
Now you got Boo at the Zoo at the zoo that's going on today, tomorrow, and Sunday. You can meet princesses and pirates and superheroes. It's $15 to get in. The tickets are timed and required purchase in advance. So if you're going to get those, I would go online. Now, I'm a big fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I used to go all the time. I'm so excited that they're doing that. They're doing a Rocky Horror Halloween bash at the La Cinema. This is happening tomorrow at 10 o'clock at night, so you're going to have to be up late. It begins at 11:30, but the pre-show activities include games, giveaways, a $100 prize for the best costume. I used to go and watch these and participate, so I'm like all excited about that.
The only time I ever saw a Rocky Horror Picture Show, I was actually in Germany, and they were so reluctant to throw toast. It was just like,
what?
Wait a minute. minute. This is what you're supposed to do. Good
it's
grief.
Awesome. And of course, you've got Nightfall and you've got Terror in the Corn, which I went to, which was really good. I really enjoyed it. Now, interesting, Slaughterhouse, they got sold. I mean, so this might be the last year of Slaughterhouse. So I don't know.
Okay, very good. Well, quite a list. You got one more real quick one? Super quick.
We could do Night of Fright. Going to be on the Pima Air and Space Museum tomorrow, 5 to 8:30. It's $25 per car. Pre-registration is required.
Okay, very good. And thank you to Leslie Lois of 101.7 The Drive. You have just set us up for a wonderful weekend. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Okay, I want to remind people, and first of all, thank you. I've been hosting the last couple of weeks, and I've really enjoyed it. Bill will be back. I want to remind you that the Buckmaster Radio Program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Buckmaster Assistant Rosemary Brandt. She's terrific. Producers, engineers John Couch and Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. You have a great weekend.